time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Ryan and Jay welcoming you to the round table for this Monday, the 27th of April. Joining us, the host of the Bill Carroll Show, Coast to Coast, Fridays at noon, each and every morning. He can be heard in the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. Mr. Bill Carroll. Hello, Bill.
Good day. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, sir. Good. News Talk 1010, political analyst, sometimes Rush member, and the co-founder of Zoom.
That's
not really. Right. Trevor Mayo joining us.
I wish.
Trevor.
Are you kidding me?
No kidding. What a windfall that would be.
Gentlemen, let's start off with a conversation about what our listeners just heard. We got the numbers. We asked the mayor on Friday. He kept his word. He brought us the numbers when it comes to two individuals who will be tasked with transitioning the city of Toronto back to whatever normal looks like over the next couple of months. Saad Rafi being one of them, former Pan Am Games CEO. Ask me how that went. He will be paid approximately $35,000, including expenses a month, all the way till November. If it goes on that long, the mayor couldn't tell us whether or not, if it stops, like if we are all back to normal by August, what that would look like, because he didn't have all the details of it, but he gave us what he promised. Dr. David Mowat will be paid approximately $50,000 a month, including expenses, till the end of July. Bill, as I said to the mayor, it's easier when you have a job to look at those numbers and say, okay, I guess that makes sense. When you don't have a job, I would guess you'd be close to irate, but the mayor seems to disagree.
First of all, I heard the mayor's maple syrup bit. Wasn't that good. So I understand why the boss made him mad. But it's not a lot of money for expertise and people with that kind of background in normal times. But it's hard to swallow when people don't have jobs at all. This would be a time you'd like to see some people who have a bit of money step up and say, you know what? I'll do it. No charge. I'll do it. I'll take care of it. We are in a crisis. And if they can't afford to do that, well, maybe you could find someone who has the expertise who can. I think we should be asking volunteers to raise their hands right now. I think a lot of people would be willing to do that. I just think it really looks bad to spend that kind of money on anything right now.
Yeah, Trevor, it's interesting. We've used the war analogy quite a bit when it comes to fighting COVID-19. This would be like having two real top-tier generals or one top-tier general and a field officer and saying to them, hey, we could really use your assistance on the front lines. It would be great. It would be great. And them looking at us and saying, okay, well, what does it pay, as opposed to putting their hand up and volunteering for the gig?
Maybe, but that's also sometimes unfair. You know what I mean? Always asking people to volunteer. Like, listen, I'm no fan of just throwing money away at sort of corporate partners to come in and do the work. But you pay for expertise, you pay for quality advice. Like, if you're going to go to a consultancy firm, you wouldn't just say, hey, like, hand this to me free. Like, you would pay for their hours that they put in and the expertise that they bring. We may not love that, but like, the expertise of these professionals is pretty in depth. You mean they already have an existing relationship with the different provincial municipal infrastructures to actually understand how these really complicated things are going to be put together. It's not just someone coming in, smiling for the camera, reading a teleprompter and collecting a $50,000 check. Like, these are incredibly complex things. So I don't really have a problem with it. My challenge would be how long, right? Like, because then if it just becomes on that this is, our recovery is going to take 3 years, then that's a bit of a different picture. But the way that the mayor's formed it and the way that the city's come out to do it, I actually don't have a problem with it, because this is going to be a massive undertaking and we have to get it right.
Except that I'm hearing from businessmen every day on my show who are saying, you know what, we've switched and we're making masks and we're dropping them off at no charge. We're just trying to help out. We're doing our part. We're closed anyway. A lot of people are kicking in for nothing. You know, at the very least, because people even are asking the mayor, right? Are you going to donate your check to salary? A lot of corporate leaders are taking pay cuts right now, as they asked their staff to take pay cuts. So there is a leadership thing here. They could have said, look, first 3 months, we're not going to charge you. If it goes on beyond that, we have to. There'd be a way to make this look better.
The one other question I think is important though is this for their teams though, right? Because if you hire a consultancy, sometimes that comes with a team, right? Like people who are doing the research, people who are doing the report writing. And so I'd be interested to know, is this for Rafi's team? Like, his name's on the report, his name's actually doing the work, but there are also several other staff people actually doing the groundwork as well, because I think that actually number breakdown would make this a little bit more reasonable to people.
I'll tell you something. If I'm Saad Rafi or I'm from Dr. David Mowat, I would be taking paying very close attention to the way you were bigged up by the mayor today. he's really setting the table for you to do a really good job. Like, he's put his name on this. He's taken a ton of heat for it. So at this point, if you're not paying attention to the job you're about to do, you're going to be very much held accountable for it, especially by the mayor. Because I think I'm
really?
If I'm him too.
No,
you
don't, I disagree
you don't think,
with you.
You don't think he's taking these two guys behind closed doors and saying, listen, I'm really stepping out here and sort of validating this hire. You guys really better bring it. You don't think that's even a conversation?
I think for, listen, I'm not, and again, I'm not trying to bring these people down. They're successful for a reason, but you know, we're talking about somebody who ran the Pan Am Games. Bill, are we pretending that the Pan Am Games were financially successful? Because last I looked, they weren't.
Yeah. In fact, I think I spent about 3 years making fun of the Pan Am Games as we were leading up to them. The Pan Am what now? You know? So, yeah, I wouldn't call it a big success, but I never thought they'd succeed in the first place, so I don't know if you can blame it on him. I just, you know, there got to be a lot of people right now, even within the city structure, who should be able to do the kind of work they're being asked to do.
Yeah, you know, a lot of text messages at 7-10-10 are saying, how sad is it that we don't have city councilors that can step up and do this type of thing? And, you know, that's a testament to what's been going on down at that place for a while. Now, we did ask the city office to, you know, clarify and talk about the idea of volunteering this time. They said that the work they will be performing will be absolutely critical to Toronto successfully recovering and rebuilding from COVID-19. We want to save livelihoods after having saved lives following these challenging public health measures. That kind of work requires a dedicated full-time focus that should be compensated for. So they weren't budging on that particular answer. So there you have that part of it. The other part of it today, of course, has to do with the framework coming out from the province of Ontario. Not a timeline, but certainly a framework for reopening the economy.
This framework is a roadmap. It will guide our collective decision making. It lays out the threshold we need to hit, the targets we need to work towards. Number one, virus spread and containment. Number two, health system capacity. Number three, public health system capacity. And number four, incident tracking capacity.
Trevor, I look at it and I think, okay, it makes sense. We're talking about three different stages. We're not at stage one yet. And stage one would be a slow rollout of businesses that are currently shuttered, that are currently closed. If they can prove that there's a model they can work with that would include curbside pickups and that type of thing, that would be entered into the fray. You know, the finance minister was talking to us. He wants to get elective surgeries and surgeries that need to be done in hospitals back up and running. But that would be all part of stage one. And truth be told, we're not at stage one yet.
I would have been more shocked if the framework looked different today, to be perfectly honest. Like, this is what I was really expecting, sort of giving a hint of once we hit these stages, how long it could be to sort of impress the gravity of the situation that still we're still in right now. The fact that, like, yes, things are starting to flatline, but I mean, May 2-4 is not where we're all not going to hit the cottage and go loving life on the town. Like, things are very, very serious, and it's going to be here for a lot longer. I think there's two important things that I felt coming out of today. One, him saying that we're not there yet. I mean, you're hearing things from the Canadian Federation of Business saying that there are some things that need to change right now. You know, I mean, why is Best Buy able to do curbside pickup and Costco able to do it, but other smaller retailers that are fabrics of the community not able to actually open up and do business if they can put the same safety protocols in place? So I hear that, but I think it's also the mental health perspective. I mean, if we're all sitting at home, we don't know when we're going back to work. You have your kids potentially that you're also doing daycare and trying to do education for as well. You're sitting at home. This at least provides a little bit of understanding of how long this runway is, that it's not next week, but it's probably well into the summer, and that there are different protocols around it. I think that is super important for people now to start to, one, bring some certainty around where jobs and things may go, but then also just from a mental health perspective, if you're staying home, knowing that there is a potential light at the end of the tunnel, but there's a lot of work that still needs to go in for us to get there.
Yeah, Bill, I put it this way to the finance minister. Best case scenario, you're looking, once we get to stage one, 6 weeks. Worst case scenario, it looks like about 12 weeks. And you said, I wouldn't argue with those numbers. And I think that if everybody continues to do what they're doing, we're probably going to lean closer to that best case scenario than the idea of getting open and reopened in August.
Yeah, I assume phase one could possibly be a little sooner than that if you look at a 2 to 4 weeks of numbers that are declining, if they started to decline immediately. But listen, I think a lot of businesses can look at those and make an estimate you know, if you're the kind of business who's going to really have a hard time with social distancing, you're going to have to wait to the final phase of this. That's going to be a minimum of a couple of months, probably much more like 3 or 4 months. So this is if everything goes really well. And so, you know, and I'm not disappointed either. He said it was going to be a framework. This is more like the foundation and a bit of framing. Certainly no drywall on this thing yet. But a lot of businesses I've talked to already said, I just would have liked to know a little bit more of which category my business would fit in. Mm-hmm. So that when we move to phase one, I know that, hey, within 2 to 4 weeks, there's a chance that I could open so I can start to plan for that. So I think we need in the next few days, I'd like to see a little more clarification about where your particular business would fit, because people deserve an opportunity to prepare and, more importantly, know if they can hang on.
Well, Bill, I think that's an important point too, because you have a lot of businesses right now who are sitting around and saying, I'm taking on debt to just stay alive. The doors are open, I'm not taking revenue, and I'm continuously taking on debt just to survive month to month. And if you are going to be told that, yeah, 6 weeks, okay, I can actually stomach that. I can make that work. But if things aren't going to come back till September, I'm just going to all of a sudden get to September and be so in depth that now bankruptcy is the only option for me personally or professionally. And so at least providing a little bit more details around that would help people in terms of if they need to access more debt or not.
Bill, Trevor, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate both taking the time today.
Okay, good to see
Cheers.
You guys.
There you go.
Thanks,
That's,
guys.
Bill Carroll, Trevor Mayo, they are fantastic. Everybody on this radio station is fantastic, Jay.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.